52DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. A top ISIS leader has been killed in a daring nighttime raid in the Horn of Africa. Bilal al-Sudani is dead along with 10 ISIS fighters. The Secretary of Defense says that the operation leaves the U.S. safer and more secure. Bracing for protests, Memphis, Tennessee is on edge ahead of the release just hours from now of the police body camera footage showing the deadly beating of a black driver, Tyree Nichols, allegedly at the hands of five black police officers.
The Nichols family attorney telling ABC News five officers being held criminally accountable for their deadly and brutal actions gives us hope as we continue to push for justice for Tyree.
ABC's Elwin Lopez says the assault is compared to the 1991 police beating of Rodney King in L.A. The Commerce Department says consumer prices rose 5% last month, down 0.5% from a year earlier. The Fed say it's a sign the economy is cooling off from record-high inflation. This is ABC News. Commemorations are held around the world today in observance of Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Countries around the world marking Holocaust Remembrance Day. Second Gentleman Douglas Emhoff traveling to Poland and Germany as part of a five-day trip to honor those killed as part of the Holocaust. January 27th marks the date the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland was liberated by the Red Army in 1945. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the Foreign Desk.
Remaining survivors of Auschwitz attended ceremonies at the site of the camp 78 years after its liberation. A chemical warfare watchdog organization accuses Syria's Air Force of using chlorine gas in an April 2018 attack in the city of Douma. A report from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons says a Syrian Air Force helicopter dropped a drum of chlorine on a residential building, killing 43 people. The Syrian government has denied using chemical weapons, does not recognize the investigation team's authority. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier. Here's what you need to know. Republicans in the U.S. Senate want spending cuts before they'll raise the debt ceiling. Senator Ron Johnson says they'll look at everything this year, including Social Security and Medicare. Johnson proposed these earned benefits be changed to discretionary spending rather than mandatory. Democrats calling out the GOP for trying to back out of their commitment to seniors and working Americans who've earned the benefits by paying into the system all of their working lives. A little positive news for Wisconsin's farmers. WPR reporting that after years of leading the nation and the number of farm bankruptcies, new federal data shows Wisconsin had 10 Chapter 12 bankruptcy cases filed before the end of September last year, down 72% from the same time in 2021 when there were 36 new cases. One possible reason for the decline, farmers got more money from the federal government for pandemic-related programs, but those programs are now ending. I'm Jane Matnier for Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michaels trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michaels Corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Texas is that same number. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Tyre Nichols situation in Memphis, where five law enforcement officers murdered Tyre Nichols after a traffic stop. CJ is on the line. Go ahead, CJ. Said we give you an opportunity. Go ahead.
Thanks again, Earl and Sandy. I guess I'm frustrated because I think the police have been demonized for so long that it's getting hard to even recruit police now. And
CJ, why do you think they're being demonized? Why do you think they're being demonized?
Well, I think there are some bad police, and there's been
Let's back off, because I think we're in a situation where we got with CJ's on the line, and I think we have more or less agreement here. I do think there is a breakdown of the relationship between the community and the police. To the police, it probably feels many of them like they're being demonized, and to the community, it feels like they're being brutalized, and. And we need to solve for that problem. And I think if we want to cure this problem, we're better off not just talking about the problem itself, but we're better off talking about what the solutions to it might be. And it obviously exists on both sides of the coin. I mean, the community, we have to solve for crime in the community. Police have to play a big role in that. How the police are asked to carry out their jobs every day has a lot to do with the experience police have, and it has a lot to do with what happens to police after they become police in terms of affecting them. It's a very difficult job. Part of the reason it's hard to recruit police is, I mean, maybe it's somewhat because they're demonized, but I think the biggest part of it is that the job of being a policeman is a possibly a very unsatisfying job, and many aspects of it are very difficult on the soul of the policeman. And so we ought to focus on that, I think. And I mean, we can't eradicate the crime overnight that they're forced to deal with, but we could start dealing with what it is police do day to day. And maybe there's a better way for the police to perform their job that might, in fact, improve their relationship with the community. I think Sherman from Racine talked about that kind of effectively.
CJ?
Well, I've talked to you about this before, Earl. I think there's been attempts to reform policing.
Attempts aren't good enough.
Tim Scott.
CJ, attempts aren't good enough.
Well, he and which side of the aisle attempts were made, and he proposed some very meaningful police reforms that not only the Democrats, but you demonized even the name of Tim Scott. And I don't quite know. I wish you'd explain that. He tried to put forth very meaningful police reform on the Senate floor.
You know.
It was demonized by your party.
Well, let's back off just a minute, because I don't think we need to have an argument with you, CJ, because I think in many respects we all agree with one another about this. But I don't think the Senate floor is where police reform occurs in police departments, and it's regional and local all across the country. And so it's not going to be cured at the federal level. The federal level can talk about it, but that's pretty much all politics. What we need to do is actually examine it and then implement things that are going to affect and change the circumstance. But I think we agree about this. I just think what we should avoid doing is finding a way to have an argument about this, and we ought to be finding a way to reach agreement.
I'm not asking for an argument. Hold on, CJ.
Let me say this to you. The last four chiefs in the city of Milwaukee have all had great relationships. Never once did any of those law enforcement officers, including the president of the police union, ever saw me as an adversary. So your belief is just that. We got to run, man. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, I wanted to just get here now. I want to move to what changed with the United States. Last week, it was not going to be possible. Joe Biden and the American people were not going to send tanks to Ukraine. And Germany wasn't sending any.
Well, they have the Leopard tank, which are
right.
It's interesting the complexity and the differences between these tanks make them quite different different issues.
From what we've got the best technology.
Well, that's what we say,
right?
But our best tech—it's a little bit like having the most sophisticated rifle, but if it doesn't work in the field, it doesn't help you. And yeah. We found that out in Vietnam when we had rifles that jammed and didn't work, and the Kalashnikov, primitive but always worked. But the Abrams tank runs on jet fuel. It doesn't run on diesel fuel,
right.
So it requires special fuel. It apparently gets very low miles to the gallon, so it requires lots of jet fuel to be carted around.
Behind it, a whole group of things.
So the logistical issues associated with the Abrams tank are different than the Leopard tank, for instance, which is being supplied by the Germans. And you know, usually the tank force in a country's military is unified so that the spare parts for all of them can be, you know, so you end up, when you end up supporting, for instance, the Ukrainian military with three or four different types of tanks with different parts, you end up with some complexities that are going to be difficult to solve. So a part of the reluctance on the Abrams tank might have been just, you know, we're going to give you something, but we don't know how easy it'll be for you to use it. Some of it had to do with the notion that building up a great tank force for Ukraine, and it's being talked about like this by Ukraine, involves attacking the Crimea region with tank battalions as a way to try to recover the Crimea. And as I've said before, I'm confident that America is not enthusiastic about the war spreading to the point where Ukraine would be actively attacking the Crimea and where the Crimea would come into direct contests, because we know that Russia places the greatest strategic import on Sevastopol and the Crimea as the Black Sea warm water port.
You know, Sandy, these tanks, and you and I months ago talked about a tank war. It's kind of archaic. You know, the impact of tanks in war with drones and rockets. You know, unless that Abrams tank is, and I know it, as they stated, one of the best ever created.
Apparently it's better shielded from the top. We found vulnerabilities in the TU tanks that Russia has based on the ability from drones to drop explosive down onto the thing, and it would blow the turret off and incapacitate both the crew and the tank. Apparently, the Abrams tanks are better able to resist that kind of attack. I think what we are finding out is that even with the sophistication of cyber warfare and the sophistication of drones, the tanks and land warfare doesn't get modern as fast as the equipment. You know, it still involves battalions of men. It involves firepower on the ground, including tanks. Yeah. And so, you know, there is a belief that the spring assault and the spring offensives, whether they come from Ukraine towards Russia or Russia toward Ukraine, are going to involve many tanks and many battalions of fighting people.
So here's part of the problem with it, as people hail the fact that we're sending 31. Sandy, it's not 3,100.
Right.
It's 31.
Well, I mean, if you've seen the number, count of tanks in the arsenal of various countries, Russia has about three times as many tanks as any other country, including the United States. They've armed themselves with the expectation that if they get into a war, it's likely to be a land war. They clearly have a view that their wars are more likely to be in places contiguous to Russia. The United States doesn't have that view. We don't plan on a war with Mexico or Canada. We have to transport our tanks and probably drop them in from the air in many circumstances, right, in many places. So, you know, they have, I think the number that I read was something like 14,000 tanks in their arsenal, many of them quite old possibly, but tanks are tanks in some respects.
So 31 tanks, whether they're Abrams or...
Well, they're talking about a total of about 100 Leopard tanks coming from different countries, a smaller number from Germany and a number from Poland and some from Canada. Incidentally, it was surprising, but I noticed that Canada is sending tanks, and the tanks they operate are Leopard tanks, not Abrams tanks.
And Ukraine has their own battery of tanks, small as it may be. Their tanks are Russian tanks.
Right.
So they have been very cautious about putting their tanks out. They would have been destroyed by now. So we're still talking, Sandy, the fact that this offensive that they're ramping up for is going to be on the ground, and they're going to be outnumbered even with the great Abrams tanks. And the things that I've been reading about that tank is, again, all of the baggage that comes along with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of equipment, but, you know, they haven't had it out in the field.
Well, 31 tanks, and with all of the logistical support they'll require, is kind of more of a symbolic gesture, I think, than a real game changer. And I think the reason is I don't think the United States wants to make a game changer, because I think what they're trying to do is give Ukraine the capacity to resist effectively incursions from the Russians, but they don't want to give them the capacity to carry out affirmative assaults on the Crimea.
So it goes back to what we've been talking about now almost for the entire year that this thing has been going on. We're not going to help Ukraine defeat Russia. It can't happen. Right?
Right.
It's not going to happen.
We have to define victory and we have to define defeat. That has to do with the end game. And I'm confident that as this thing goes on, both America and Russia have to be scratching their heads about an end game. I'm also confident that both Russia and the United States, in some respects, are eager to talk to one another to see if they can't get to end game. And that's the issue.
844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 13. Chance for snow tomorrow. High of 17. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 23.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Texas is that same number. You know, Sandy, with the announcement that these 31 tanks are going to be forthcoming, what people need to understand is not like they've got them just sitting around. They're going to produce them. We're going to produce those tanks. The Pentagon is planning to provide Ukraine the A2 version in this exportable form, according to one defense official and two other people with knowledge of the deliberations. Questions remain over the timeline of when the Abrams tanks can be delivered to Ukraine. The tanks are assembled in one place only, a government-owned General Dynamics-operated plant in Lima, Ohio. That facility can produce 12 tanks per month, but the line is now full of new tank orders for Taiwan and Poland. Orders would be difficult and likely controversial to put on the back burner. The Army is providing multiple options for senior leaders to determine a way ahead, the service acquisition chief Doug Bush told reporters Wednesday. Sandy, there's a good chance Poland has ordered 250 of the A2 tanks that will be delivered starting in 2025, but in the meantime is receiving an emergency infusion of the 116 M1A1 tank, recently retired by the Marine Corps. So clearly, when it's what you've, you know, always talked about when we talk about that military budget.
Is that this is sort of a lifting up of rock and looking at the military establishment and the extent to which it has clients around the world. And that the clientele is strongly dependent on there being hot sort of issues going on around the world, because when there are hot issues, they sell tanks, right? Selling a bunch of tanks to Taiwan, and, well, first of all, the idea of tank warfare in Taiwan is surprising. But the fact is that munitions are a big industry in the United States, and you can think of them as being an industry that sells munitions into the huge military establishment of the United States. But it turns out that their customer base is worldwide, and that as far as fighter jets and the rest are concerned, more of those annually get sold to foreign customers. So we do have a stake in keeping the world kind of off balance. It kind of works in a commercial setting.
You know, I hadn't thought about it, but the first thing that popped in my mind when I read that was, oh, okay, so the taxpayers are paying all this money to the military. The military industrial complex is a group of private businesses, not the government itself.
Oh, yeah.
That are producing these products.
Sure, and the government buys the products, and also the products get sold to other countries, and the other countries pay for the products. You know, it's...
So then why are we putting so much money into that military industrial complex when the American taxpayer is not receiving?
Well, the taxpayer puts the money in and they get the stuff back, right? So they get airplanes.
In the form of the military, yeah.
They get airplanes, or they have military payroll. Or they've got all kinds of stuff. They've got all kinds of communication apparatus. They've got stuff we have no idea about.
Right.
You know, they've got B-21 bombers that cost $1.5 billion. You know, it's
the things we don't know.
But you know, the taxpayers put the money in and they buy stuff. It's like, you know, it's a candy shop for the military in terms of being able to invent stuff and a lot of the stuff gets invented as well at this taxpayer cost, because that Abrams tank was developed with grant money from the United States government to whoever it is that is the private company building the Abrams tanks.
So listen to this: Taiwan ordered 108 M1A2 tanks in 2019, and the first are expected to be delivered in 2024. That M1A2 tank is obsolete to what we do, because the Abrams replaced that. So we're selling.
Well, we're not selling in obsolete inventory. We're making this for them, and we're making it to the specs. Of what they want, probably. Now, they probably don't want a tank that needs jet fuel and all this stuff. You know, it's going to be, as far as I could tell, when I read all that, it just reminded me of the fact that the rifles we equipped our soldiers with in Vietnam got plugged up and didn't work, and the Kalashnikovs did.
Those Mateo rifles.
Because ours were so sophisticated.
Yeah.
But, sophistication isn't good if it doesn't work. And so, you know, the Abrams tank has the possibility of being like that for the Ukrainians.
Well, a part of all of it is, Sandy, they'll have three or four different types of tanks, Ukraine.
Right.
Which will make it difficult. You certainly would like to go to war with a universal set of equipment, right?
Well, you'd like your field engineers to know how to fix the stuff that's in the field. You'd like the parts that you carry around to be interchangeable with one another.
Right.
Because the fact is, just from a probabilistic standpoint, you could carry fewer spare parts if all of the tanks use the same spare parts. But
right.
you have to carry more spare parts in order to service three or four different tanks. It's a question of probability and statistics, but trust me, it ends up that you are carrying more pieces of spare parts as the result of having multiple types of tanks.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. A top ISIS leader has been killed in a daring nighttime raid in the Horn of Africa. Bilal al-Sudani is dead along with 10 ISIS fighters. The Secretary of Defense says that the operation leaves the U.S. safer and more secure. Bracing for protests, Memphis, Tennessee is on edge ahead of the release just hours from now of the police body camera footage showing the deadly beating of a black driver, Tyree Nichols, allegedly at the hands of five black police officers.
The Nichols family attorney telling ABC News five officers being held criminally accountable for their deadly and brutal actions gives us hope as we continue to push for justice for Tyree.
ABC's Elwin Lopez says the assault is compared to the 1991 police beating of Rodney King in L.A. The Commerce Department says consumer prices rose 5% last month, down 0.5% from a year earlier. The Fed say it's a sign the economy is cooling off from record high inflation. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Stephen Avery's lawyers want a new trial again. Their client is serving life in prison for the killing of Teresa Halbach near Manitowoc in 2005. His lawyers say the state needs to reopen the case. They claim another relative was seen with Halbach's SUV near the time she was killed, and that needs a closer look. Avery's legal team has asked for new trials several times. Judges turn them down every time. It looks like somebody tried to send a package of drugs to the Green Bay police chief. Investigators say the package was intercepted at the post office on Tuesday before it could get to Chief Chris Davis. They say the package contained fentanyl, cocaine, and a letter. Police say they'd rather people drop off unwanted drugs at a drop box at the police department lobby. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
One, two, three.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to Tom quickly. Tom from L.A.
Earl, first off, so what you're really saying, Sandy, and what you're really saying, Earl, is we sell nothing of value that gives us no return on investment. In fact, it usually only makes us enemies with other people. And here's why you get bipartisan agreement on this, because all the donors are involved in all the states. Eisenhower was right. Beware of the military-industrial complex. In fact, won't it be ironic when we use our own weapons on ourselves, and that ends the world?
You know, the American people don't know. I think in many instances, Sandy, we don't want to know.
Respects, we are using our own weapons on ourselves. AR-15s are military weapons. AR-13, right? I'm not sure I know the right number to put on the end of AR. But all these AR rifles are military assault rifles, and we are using them on ourselves, and we're killing ourselves at a relatively rapid clip. So what you've just prophesied is, in some respects, it's already amongst us.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Earl.
You know, Sandy, so are we any closer to peace talks?
Well, I just think, there's a sobering up process. I think that the European unity has been kind of remarkably good so far in terms of not fulfilling. I think Putin's expectation was the winter, the shortage of gas, the inflation, the recession, all of that would weaken the resolve. And so far, the resolve of the allies that are involved with arming Ukraine seems to be relatively strong. But it clearly can't be. It's not infinite, and it's not indefinite. And so everyone understands that, including Putin, including the alliance itself. Furthermore, like I've said, we do understand that the Russian resolve and the willingness of Putin and Russia to do injury to itself, economic injury, reputational injury, social injury to the social structure in Russia, would be, they would have a greater willingness to do that damage to themselves in a fight over Sevastopol and Crimea, because it's clear that Sevastopol and Crimea have significant strategic import to Russia, always has. And will. It's the warm water port that they don't otherwise have without it. And so the Black Sea and the path to the Black Sea is important. They would not be happy with, I think, an outcome in the war that left them subject to the will of Ukraine and the West as to whether they had access to the Black Sea. So looking at reality, looking at geopolitical reality, which I'm afraid we were unwilling to do or foolish enough not to do back in December of 2021, but looking at it now, and as I think people are starting to look at it, I think there's a realization that the end game needs to involve negotiation and that it will leave Russia with Crimea and would probably end in a way that could end sanctions on Russia, which you know, needs to be done, carefully, and there is a drive, I think, subliminal, back channel, to have that negotiation sooner rather than later. And I think all of this arming with tanks and whatever is to give proof to Russia that there's sufficient resolve to cause them to need to, one, come to the negotiating table, which I think they're willing to do, but two, to make the concessions that they need to make in order to achieve.
So, Sandy, if I'm hearing you right, Russia has not engaged in this to walk away empty-handed. There's certain things that they are going to have to secure before any of this can end.
Yes, and I think there was a miscalculation on both our part and their part. It's interesting because I think it was the same miscalculation. I think they thought that they could get to Kyiv and topple the government and achieve the outcomes they wanted, leave Ukraine more or less intact, get the annexation of Crimea recognized. They would change the government in Ukraine would be denazified, which was just code, I think, for getting the Zelensky administration out and a new Russian-leaning administration in, get the Donbass handled in a manner that was satisfactory and a neutral Ukraine, and it would have been done. We could have been happy with that outcome as well. That outcome looks and sounds a great deal like what will probably be the outcome of the war after the war, except for no change in the administration in Ukraine, and probably some more limited changes in the Donbass than Russia would have wanted in the negotiation. But, our miscalculation was we thought that was going to happen too. And I think we were basically positioning ourselves so that we could paint Russia into a further corner as a pariah after they toppled Ukraine. We were
we were sort of flaunting and daring Russia to do what they did when we kept up on the process of not only of inviting essentially Ukraine into NATO, even though we knew that Germany would have probably not allowed that, as can be seen from the reluctance Germany is now exhibiting towards a full-blown support of Ukraine in an offensive.
You know, Sandy, the American people, you know, 16 years in war with Afghanistan and all those years with Iraq. And so, but that really, those were things that we didn't see, right? I mean, it wasn't everyday major fighting like this is. This is a real war.
It's a real war, but it's a proxy war, and Americans aren't dying except for this, just the limited number of them that have volunteered to be part of the Ukrainian Legion. So,
so do you think it's out of sight, out of mind for the American people?
I think it's an NFL football game politically for a lot of these people. It's rah-rah. It's democracy at under duress, saving democracy. You know, we've painted these ideological images that paint us into a corner, but it's not a corner that the people with practical and strategic sense want to be painted into. And you can see Biden, in spite of the fact that he, I think, was doing the rah-rah thing in 2021 and in November, December, but after the, you know, and creeping up to the invasion. But I think now everyone is sober, can look at this from a sober real politics standpoint, understands what the real American interest here is, which is not to go to the mat for instance, Crimea and Sevastopol against Russia.
Okay, so if that's not our aim, at some point in time, because now I was reading something the other day that talked about now Ukraine wants to go back to the promise. They want the jets now that they've been asking for. We're giving them incrementally. It's kind of like, I don't want to use the analogy. It's kind of like, you know, throwing feeding the deer during the summer and during the spring, knowing that by the time November rolls around, that the deer hunting's baiting them, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what it is, you know, the war has gone on. What Ukraine needs to sustain itself against sort of an ever larger, ever more, you know, the Wagner Group. And the way they've approached the war in the East has been, they've just thrown waves of human beings at them. Many of them, apparently, according to our story at least, many of them ex-convicts or convicts that have been released so that they could fight for the mercenary Wagner Group. The Wagner Group has used them more or less as fodder. But that puts a great deal of duress on the Ukrainian troops, and apparently the Ukrainian losses have been very substantial in the wars around Luhansk in the salt mine area. And so the Ukrainians realize that they're to stay in this for the long haul, they need to get advantages against a pure land war, because a pure land war against Russia, just like we said from the beginning, doesn't end up well for Ukraine. And so how do you get it from being a pure land war? Well, you need jets, and you need some kind of advantage on the land. You need better tanks. You need these ground-to-ground missile systems that we've been giving them. But we understand that there's a limit to what we're willing to do in this proxy war, which is we're willing to help Ukraine defend its turf, but we aren't willing to give Ukraine the capacity to essentially fight the dragon for Crimea and Sevastopol, which I keep coming back to that. But I think everyone understands that that is a matter of actual critical import. Russia demonstrated that when they took it in the first place. We demonstrated that we recognized it when we allowed them to take it in the first place. And we aren't going to arm Ukraine and wave the flag at Russia to excite them into what the, what it was, it excite them into by having an offensive aimed at you, at Crimea.
So Zelensky's no dummy. He does know that it's an impossible task without air power. You know, very few wars are ever won without air power. One of the strengths we've always had is complete superiority.
Well, yeah, what we've done for Ukraine is we've given them surface-to-air missile capacity and defense capacity to keep Russia from having air superiority. So Russia's not flying its aircraft over Ukraine very much either because we it gets shot down. So right now it's not an air war, it's a ground war. And So
we're willing to help them in a ground war.
We're willing to help them in a ground war. We're not going to give them the air capacity to, like I said, we don't. I'm confident that in the confines of the Pentagon and the in the White House and the National Security Council, we don't want this to turn into a war over Crimea. We want this to settle before it gets to that point, and we just want it to settle on a basis that is circumstantially adequate for Ukraine.
So we are cognizant that unless we continue to do this with trepidation, we're confident that we don't want this thing to evolve into a world war, which it still can, right? I mean, it's depending, we can determine whether or not this becomes a world war. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yes. And you know, Russia currently, we haven't talked about it, but Russia's got this military frigate that's been detoured and is heading toward the United States. It's a missile frigate. The missiles apparently are hypersonic, could be nuclear missiles. And I think and the missiles have a range of, I read, 675 miles. So in order for them to threaten the United States, they have to get into international waters, but close to the United States. And it appears that that's what Putin is going to do. He's going to send this over there just to let the United States know that, hey, you guys were talking about putting NATO and NATO missiles, at least, into Ukraine. And incidentally, I can do this. I can put these missiles that are undetectable hypersonic missiles that you had have no defense against. I can put them off your shore. So let's talk. And that's clearly what he's trying to do, is he's trying to put this stuff there and say, okay, now let's talk.
You know, Sandy, it's a harrowing thought that this thing could realistically. You know, we none of us ever dreamt that we would ever be at this point talking about any of this. But we're there.
Yeah.
Right? And I still think, man, there are many Americans outside of you. I don't have these discussions with anybody. I just don't, because number one, people don't want to talk about it. They may not even know. They may not even think any of these things are possible. But they're clearly possible. Man, these people, they are.
Well, that's because, like I said before, our foreign policy is made in a dark room. It's not made by the people. But people don't really understand the issues. The people are presented with the foreign policy and told that to be patriotic, they must support it. And quite frankly, that's the same way we pick our enemies. And the selection of our enemies has become a fundamental problem.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Snow showers likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 34. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 13. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Chance for snow, 17. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 23.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show and my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, today went by as fast as any show I think we've ever done.
It really did. I don't know if that means it's interesting or whether our minds are just emptied more rapidly.
Well, there was a lot of things that I had to talk about that we never got to. 844-967-2789. We'll try it one more time, CJ, quickly.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, you said that no one would have imagined that we'd be in this position with Ukraine. If you go back 6 months, you could hear my talk with you. I said it was going to happen.
Oh.
I told you this was going to happen with this guy because our president is weak. He caused it in Afghanistan. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's fact.
No, well, CJ, you know why?
Due to this president.
CJ, you know why we don't want to hear it? Because we've heard it 999 times before. You know,
and you're going to keep hearing it because you won't acknowledge it.
No, we're not going to keep hearing it.
You
because,
don't even acknowledge
because
the fact
we can,
that I've
because
said
we
it
can we can just dismiss the conversation. So we're not going to keep hearing it. You know, I think for you and others to think that it's that simplistic is telling. If you can't understand the magnitude of what is going on here, and the simplest answer to you is because they didn't believe that Joe Biden is weak and Donald Trump was strong, you really don't have anything to add to this conversation. If that's the way you think this is, I don't even understand why we're wasting time having a conversation with you, man. Again, thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the call. Sandy?
Well, it is much more complicated than that. And the relationship with Russia and how we've dealt with it over the last 15 years is the seat of the problem. And the notion that Biden was weak in his dealing with it, quite frankly, I would turn that on its head and say I would, to the extent that I'm not a proponent of the policy that was adopted over the last 15 years vis-a-vis Russia, I would say that Biden's problem was that not that he was too weak, but that he was too militant and too militant about the expansion of NATO, and that was really what excited this. And that to the extent that I would agree with Trump, it's because Trump, I think, was probably more likely to cut off military aid to Ukraine. He was probably more likely to have the United States sit on its hands, let Ukraine fend for itself with Russia and negotiate with Russia, and to negotiate into the submission that Russia was seeking from them. So, you know, it's not the rah-rah
It's not the rah-rah issue that CJ would like it to be. It's not that Trump was more militant, would stand up to them, and there never would have been this invasion by Russia, and Ukraine would never have been required to yield. I think the flip side of that, I think that Russia probably, that Ukraine would have been under Trump much more likely to have submitted to Russia, and maybe that Zelensky would have been forced out of office, and that Russia would have had its way. My feeling was that from a real politics standpoint, we should recognize hegemony, and that Ukraine clearly is within Russia's primary interest, strategic interest, and we should treat it that way, just as, quite frankly, Taiwan is the same. And Taiwan is even different because Taiwan is, in fact, under international law to the extent it is anything, it is a part of mainland China.
So Sandy, do you think there's ever going to come a time when the American people are going to be forced to pay attention to this? Do you think we're going to come to that point in this situation where, you know?
I think we haven't been educated that way. I don't think we are educated that way. I think those of us who grew up in the Cold War grew up in a situation of us versus them. It was a clear recognition and understanding of who was good and who was bad. I think we've become used to that. I think we've become used to being able to paint people in that way. I think we've been very selective about who we've painted that way and how we've decided who our enemies are. You know, we didn't make Saudi Arabia. There's a whole bunch of countries we've decided to be cozy with who have many of the characteristics that we would describe as being undemocratic and reprehensible and to disregard human rights like the Shah of Iran did for his entire tenure. But on the other hand, we easily fall into instruction from our government as to who the bad guys are that we need to be patriotically against, and quite frankly, we have just a habit where we grew habitually into a view that both China and Russia, Russia being a post-communist country, China having an evolving breed of communism, are bad guys. And so being bad guys, we simplify our thought process here in the United States. And it's going to be a very big problem for us because Ukraine is a problem for us. Taiwan will be a huge problem for us.
You know, Sandy, it will... Let's bring Jacob on quickly. You got a couple seconds, man. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to respond to the conservative jerk caller who wants to blame Joe Biden for the war in Ukraine. You know, Republicans will blame anybody but their hero, Vladimir Putin, and his buddy, his puppet, Donald Trump. You know, if Trump was still in office, I don't know, maybe there wouldn't have been a war. Trump would have just handed Ukraine to Putin as a gift.
Oh, okay, man. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, thanks as always for a great show. You know, time flies, man, when you're having fun, right?
It does.
I thank our growing audience for listening. We could not do it without you. We'll be back, Sandy and I, on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. And who do I say? Can I say go Pack go? Oh, no, I can't say go Pack go.
No. Who do you? Who do you favor?
Kansas City.
You want, okay, Kansas City. Who on the other side?
Who's on the other side?
San Francisco and the Eagles.
The Eagles.
Well, see, I'll flip side that on you. I'm for the other teams.
Well,
in both cases.
In both cases, Sandy, they are the best two. In this instance, the best four teams, I think, in the league made it to the end, right?
Yeah, for sure. And quite frankly, I think the Brock Purdy story is so fantastic. It's hard to, and I've always liked the 49ers. I don't know why. I like the Gestalt.
So have I, but the Eagles are the real deal.
We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah. All right, got to go. Thank you, Cutter, for a great week. Be back on Monday. See you all later.
Using me until you use me up.
till you use me up.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2. You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.